And in our recent studies, we have considered exercising the God's wonderful presence by way of the Spirit of God, whose assignment is to make all of the benefits and all of the blessings real, to make it all work. And therefore, we have sought to spend a little time on prayer. And we share together that prayer, when a person comes to know the Lord as their Savior, they are in the immediate process of praying. And if they're truly saved, God is going to say, Abba, Father, and they're going to say, Abba, Father, and they're going to have a whole new relationship to God, and they're going to exercise it. And that's where prayer is. Prayer is that exercise that you do, and you don't need anyone to teach you. You plain old do it. That's what you do. The same as when you were born physically, unless there's some other problem, you learn to talk, and you learn to talk right on. You learn to say goo and ga and no and yes and everything else. And that's what you did. And that's why you can talk now. And that's how you pray. And it isn't, well, I got to teach me, I got to go. No, you don't. Either you're saved, then talk to God and do it. That's prayer. And then when we come together like this, we were looking at in particular, because here's the assembly, a local assembly assembled together, and their assignment is to be seated in session in his presence, in the presence of the sovereign Savior. And we're seated here, and we're here, and we share together Old Testament on prayer, New Testament, that all of the movement is about God. It's all Godward movement. And it isn't about whether she said, it said, and Susie has a problem, whatever. That's all personal things, as we shared. And those are personal things, and they're dealt with in a personal way, as we look at, as we'll look at in a minute. But it's all about looking to God, and that's what we're doing here. That's what we're looking to fulfill our obedience in our relationship, individually, and as a body. Right now, we're assembled as a local body, like all the parts in your physical body. And they're brought together to function before God. And then you all go to your school, work, and home, and everything else. And you go and function there. And that's when everything becomes personal, because you have to overcome whatever it is you're up against, facing, worry, want, and everything else. And that's and concern for anything. And you don't want to be so buried with concern that you can't say thank you. And we share together the prayer of thanksgiving. So, in the process, just to pick up and catch that at all, in Colossians chapter 1, and in verse 9, remember here, all the prayers, you want to know what to pray, verse 9. For this cause, we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you, and to desire, what is the desire? That you might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. And, so that's what you're looking for, to have that sense of God and an understanding. Verse 10, that purpose, you might walk, as we shared together, worthy, balancing the scale, God on one side, you on the other, on the old-fashioned scale, and you want to balance it. Now, how am I going to balance it? Well, that's where the Spirit of God comes in, because you and I, no flesh shall glory in his presence, and we aren't going to be able to go, and I'm going to care, I'm going to love, I'm going to witness, all of that's us, and that won't balance the scale. The Spirit of God, we've shared it, it's unquestionable. He is the one to make it balance. He in you makes all of the wonderful person of Christ for real, working. And therefore the scale is balanced. Without that, it won't balance. Walk worthy of the Lord, unto all pleasing, and we shared together a whole session together. That's why you're pleasing God. What was our whole Lord's ministry, as we shared? It was to please God. It never was to please himself about his diet or about his physical problems. It never was that. It was always to please God, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And we share together, that's what it's going to be for us, because walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, etc. And in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God. So all of that is pleasing. So we're looking to please God, to serve God. And back over to Philippians, next door. And in Philippians and chapter 4, we share together, keeping in mind, verse 6, be careful, stop worrying, command, present tense, stop doing it, don't be anxious, stop worrying, don't worry about anything, for nothing, but, on the contrary, but in everything, by prayer, there's your word, that's what we're doing, we pray without ceasing. So it isn't a prayer request as such, it's a prayer life that we do. And if we're doing it, then we want to be, you heard the expression, prayed up. Are you prayed up? You're looking to God and you're right with it, prayed up. Now, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, and we share together, supplication has to do with need. And having need. So we have needs. Why is that? Well, because when the process of trusting God and looking to God, you're going to have things in your personal life, your family life, your work life, your home life, your play life, your human existence. And you aren't supposed to let that overcome your relationship to God. So when the things of your personal life get there where they're interfering with your normal breathing, using physical, your normal praying, using spiritual, you're looking to God, comfortably, abiding, doing it. And when you're doing that, then they're fine. But if something comes in and keeps you from doing that, then you come with supplication, God, help me. And that's a personal thing. Family, otherwise, whatever it is, you look to God. What are you looking to God for? For the outworking of his goodwill in your life. And whatever it is, person, place, problem, condition, circumstance, whatever it is, you're looking for God to work that out. So you're looking for God, pleasing God, looking for his goodwill, which is what the whole ball game is, looking for his will to be outworked. And in the process of that, and you look to God. And when you look to God effectively and with your heart and you do it and you're trusting him, then you're going to have, as it says in verse 6, with thanksgiving. And we shared together last time or so, thanksgiving means I gave it to God. I didn't take it back again. I'm not taking it back and thinking and worrying about it. I gave it to God. God is going to take care of it. 1 John 5:14 and 15. If you give him, looking for God's will, and you ask for God's will, and you're trusting God for his will, then what? You've already had it. You haven't even opened your eyes yet for tomorrow, but you wanted God's will. And as long as you hang in there, that's what you're going to get. And God says in verse 15, chapter 5 and verse 15, you already have it. You already have it. How's that? You already got it. Because you're trusting him. You aren't trying to say, well, what about the cancer? Or what about? No, you're looking for God to outwork things. And you go methodically down the road, and you're doing that. When it comes to the local assembly, then we have the needs and everything that affect us as a unit, as a body. and we look to God in all of those areas that need to be looked at. But we make a distinction because some things are personal and you have to work through them. I can't work through the things in your life, and you can't work through the things in my life. I have to do them all by my lonesome. And either I'm going to trust God and succeed or I'm not. It's up to me. It's up to you. Now, having said that, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God, and the result, as you know, the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Guard. So what is it going to be? Are you going to have the answer? Are you going to have, I see that clearly what's going to happen, so I'm very comfortable. No, you may not have anything. What you will have, if you thank God and you're looking to God, is His peace. His peace that passes understanding. You may not know zero about anything, but you're at peace. So what are you looking for? You're looking for God to exercise His wonderful presence, and that's what He does. He's the Father. Why do you think the Spirit of God says, Father, Father, Father? The Father is supposed to take care of the family. And when you become a child of God, a son of God, it's the Father's job to take care of it. And it says Father. It doesn't say Savior. It says Father. Now, having said that and keeping that little bit in mind, so God, here we are looking, and the supplication, sliding over while you're here, to chapter 4. And in verse 19, and in chapter 4, and in verse 19, you will notice, again, we share these different words, I'm just picking them up right here, but my God, verse 19, shall supply all your need, all your need. The need is use, to handle things. God is there to make things workable for you. Use them. And it's used of a pauper in poverty, and the poverty is being overcome by the generosity and grace of another. So in this case, God, in our poverty, we have a need, and in looking, God, we don't have the resources, but you do. So that's the word. And in doing that, in your exercising that, what are you going to do, God? Well, we know what. The Lord Jesus Christ, in all of His fullness, is in the heart of the believing believer. And all of His fullness. So where do I get all the poverty in my bankruptcy of my old nature? Where do I get that? Where am I going to provide a need? God. Therefore, you read, my God shall supply all your need according to what? According to the riches in glory by Christ Jesus. So it isn't going to be anything that you and I are going to come up with for your poverty. God is. And you're looking to God. So the peace of God passes understanding, and you're looking to God who's going to supply whatever, and you're going to work out Philippians 2. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Now, and add to that, if I may, if you could, in the light of that and all of that we did a little bit, and the wonderment of it. Now, and so we want to add now, all those different pieces, and I didn't cover all of them, I just tried to do a couple of them. Now, so I hope you've absorbed some of that. I hope I absorbed some of that. So I get it. I want to know how to operate intelligently in the presence of God. I don't want to be a stoop in God's presence. I want to know how to talk to Him. I want to know how to get answers. I want power, don't you? I want everything, God, you're going to do. And that's what He does. Now, so if we want to add to that, go over with me, please, to Deuteronomy chapter 7. Deuteronomy and chapter 7. And in chapter 7, may I pick up, please, in chapter 7 and in verse 9. And you will note, there's a word that we'd like to get. Know therefore, verse 9, chapter 7, Deuteronomy. Know therefore that the Lord thy God, he is God, the faithful God, who keepeth covenant and mercy with them that love him and keep his work, his commandments, to 1,000 generations. So, well, that's why we fit in. And the next generation to come fits in. God's going to be merciful. That's what he's going to do. He's consistent. Now, if you were using our English language to express something, you would talk about, you could use the word, a little word, to agree. We agree with something. That means you're harmonizing with it. Or you could use the word approve, approve. We approve of something. That means that we're satisfied with something the way it is. And then there is the word applaud, where you clap to show your appreciation of something. And then there's this word in verse 9, the word faithful. And that is the word that you're very familiar with, amen. Amen. Now, what do we know about that? Well, in amen, in God's wonderful word, amen has to do with that which is firm, to make something firm, to go and properly to support something, to make it firm, to be supported, so it's steady, 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 to confirm, to affirm, to lock it in, it's secured, to bind something. If you're sitting, it's not wrong thing to say. If you were sitting on the pew in the right setting, and I could put some Gorilla Glue underneath you and let the Gorilla Glue lock in. You got that? Now, as the Gorilla Glue locks in and you sit there, you and the pew are together. True? You aren't going anywhere. That's the word. Abide. Amen. To bind something to something. To make something firm, supported, to bind it, bound, 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 supported. Now, and so with that, to bind, to bring into a binding position, a supported position, God's wonderful, wonderful faithfulness. God is wonderfully, wonderfully bound. God is bound to be who he is. Like glue, that's a good way to say that. He's bound. He's bound to be who he is. He'll never be anything other than who he is. He'll never disappoint you. He's always who he is. And his word, he's bound to his word. People aren't, but God is. It's his word. He's bound to that word. He's amening it, as you see. And I need to understand that, because here we are trying to exercise the principles and for the practice of praying and looking to God with some measure of intelligence and encouragement and some kind of experience. So we have a real, real growing experience, like the Thessalonians. They had wonderful trusting in God. And then they even, and Paul, they never asked for it. Paul said, and increase your faith. You guys are so trusting, may God make you stronger. May God make you more abiding. May God make you more faithful. Wow, that's God. And you know from all of those, God, think of the word enlargement, Old Testament. And God, enlarge my soul. Make it bigger. Make it stronger. Enlarge my heart. God, is that what you want? Yes. That's what I want to do. I want to have you have all of the benefits to grow, to know. It's all about that. Now, hang on. Now, having said that little bit and keeping that in mind, over to Deuteronomy chapter 1. Deuteronomy in chapter 1, picking up if I can, verse 32 directly. Deuteronomy 1 and 32 directly. Yet in this thing, thou they trusting God? No. Did they? No. In this thing, you did not believe, there's your little word, to firm, solid support, translated believe. You did not believe the Lord your God. God was taking care of them in the wilderness, and they didn't believe. They weren't bound. God was bound to take care of them. They were not bound to let God take care of them. They weren't going to lock themselves down in that pew. They weren't going to do it. They weren't going to do it. And they didn't. They sit there, but they aren't going to lock themselves in. God locked himself in. Now, over if you would, chapter 9. And you'll see it again. Picking up, please, to see it in verse 23. 9 and 23 of Deuteronomy. You see the word and the verb. Likewise, when the Lord sent you from Kadesh Barnea, saying, go up and possess the land which I have given you, then ye rebelled against the commandment of the Lord your God, and you believed him not. And there's your word. You would not be bound. You would not be bound. You believed him not, nor hearkened to his voice. You weren't going to commit yourself. Nope, they weren't going to do that. They weren't going to do it. So here's all our exercise. So God, what are you looking for? I am committed, God said, to be who I am. I am committed to the word that I've said. I'm going to honor the word that I said, no matter what anyone says, no matter what they think it says. I'm going to honor what it means. I wrote it. I know what it means. And I exercise what it means, which is what you're doing. You aren't saying, I understand that. You're saying, God understands it. And you're believing God that he gave it and understands it. That's how you learn to understand, because you're teachable. You learn it. You can't. Everything is huge, big, full. Now, so having said that, again, keeping that in mind, over, if you would, you'll see it easily, chapter 27, Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy in chapter 27. And you would recall, remember now, that they come out and they're going to cross the Jordan. This is 27, verse 9, Deuteronomy. And Moses and the priests and Levites spake unto all Israel, saying, take heed and hearken, O Israel, this day thou art become the people of the Lord thy God. It's an official statement that you are going to cross the Jordan River as a nation. The ark is going to go before you, and you're going to cross the Jordan. You're my nation. And they put on notice. Now, and therefore, I'll read verse 10. Thou shalt therefore obey the voice of the Lord thy God, and do his commandments and his statutes, which I command thee this day. And Moses charged the people the same day, saying, now here's the list. It goes all the way along. And again, it's going to happen to every verse once you get going. Going to verse 15. Cursed be the man that maketh any graven or molten image, an abomination unto the Lord, the work of the hand of the craftsman, and putteth it in a secret place. In other words, you get your idol, and all the people shall answer and say, amen. We're bound, firm, supported, locked on to. We're locked on. God said, I want you to be bound to what I said. I am bound to what I said. You be bound. You're my people. You are to be bound to my word and honor it. And I want you to do it, not to the blessing. You won't read it on the blessing. You just read it on the cursing, because that's the tough part, you see. That's the part we don't want to do. That's what we don't want. Ah, so God said, and therefore, every verse, all the way down to the end, you remember, verse 26, cursed be he that confirmeth not, A-O-L, all the words of this law to do them. And all the people shall say, amen. We're bound. We're bound. Not to just some of it. We're bound to believe it and honor you. You are bound to it. We are bound to you. And that's what God said. Listen, I want you to love me with all your heart and soul and all of that. And God said, I love you with all my heart and soul. So it's a mutual arrangement with all, the whole person, in a most awesome and wonderful way. Now, having said that and keeping that in mind, if you would, therefore, having looked at that, and here's all the cursing and all of the word like that. Now, slide over, if you would, to Isaiah 55. Isaiah and chapter 55. And may I pick up in verse 3 in the light of the context. 55:3 Isaiah. Incline your ear and come unto me and hear, and your soul shall live. And I will make an everlasting covenant with you, the sure mercies of David. The sure mercies of David. The S-U-R-E, sure, faithful, amen. I'm bound to them. I'm bound to the mercies that I gave to David and thus to all Israel. I'm bound. You be bound. You be bound. I'm going to be bound. You be bound. Commitment. Locked in. Locked in. Amen. And amen. Now, having said that little bit and keeping that in mind, over now, over to your New Testament, if you would, in your New Testament, picking up, if I can, in John chapter 3. John chapter 3. Now, remember now, we're looking at the binding, God's wonderful binding. God, the binding, to bind oneself to something or someone. And that's what God does. And thus God binds himself to his word. And he does that. Now, and so therefore, you would understand, when we don't, 1 John chapter 1, verse 8 and 10, and all of that, and chapter 5, verse 10, we make him a liar. God said, you do what I told you, and I'm going to do it. And the Israel, we read, we don't believe. We aren't bound to that. God is bound to it. And God said, you make me a liar because I am bound to what I told. Not based on anyone, anywhere. It's based on what I have said and I who said it. That's why it's legit. So when you don't go with it, that is an insult to me. Your commandment, take not the name of the Lord in vain. It's an insult. I told you something. I'm bound to it. It isn't based on us. That's what with Mr. Lyman and that. It wasn't based on Mr. Lyman's whatever. It was based on God's word. God means it. It isn't based on how you feel, think, fumble, fall, fault. It's based on God's word. And that's what God is honoring. He isn't honoring us for our attitude, of course, is important. All of those things are important. But it isn't being honored. It's being honored because you're God. Absolutely. That's why we come boldly to the throne of grace. That's why in 1 John 3, we have confidence shouldn't have any confidence, which is the word boldness. We shouldn't have any, but we do. Why? Because God's committed to be who he is. Now, over if you would please to write the Gospel of John. And in the Gospel of John, you would recall the Hebrew word is the background for the New Testament word. Now, and you know all this because we did it in John. The Gospel of John, the verily, when verily, verily, verily is at the beginning of a sentence, and when it's at the beginning, it has to do with assured certainty. What is going to follow is absolutely legit. No messing with it. Guess who puts verily first? And it's never used of us. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. Verily, when it's at the beginning of a sentence, is always about God. Always about God. And when you come to the New Testament, as you know, the Gospel of John, 25 times, we already knew all these things, John, verily, verily is used twice for great emphasis, great understanding. God means what he said, and it's only in the beginning. Verily, verily, I say unto you, John chapter 3, and if I may, in verse 3. Jesus answered and said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Now, verily, verily means what? There's no way. But how about another way? There isn't no other way. There is no other way. Verse 5. Jesus answered, verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of heaven. That's just a plain old absolute fact. You can't do it. It just isn't going to go anywhere. So, and having said that, now, but one of the place, just all over the place, I'm just going to, chapter 5, one you know, and just, it's a wonderful assurance. So that's why you're looking to pray, pleasing to God, trusting God. You want his will for your life. That's what you want. And God's going to do it. Is God committed to it? Amen. Amen. He's committed to it. But maybe I didn't read it right. Maybe I didn't understand it right. What about this and what about that and why? And then we get involved in it. And that's when we have a need, supplication. We got to get to God fast because we're getting it all loused up. So God, you got to help us now. So God, you say it and you mean it? Absolutely. Now, so verily, verily, I say unto you, verse 5 and 24. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my words and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life. And shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. Now, God, those simple English words, is that what it means? Verily, verily. What do you want? I told you, simple as I can. You're passed from death unto life. But, no, don't make it. Did you do what I said? If you hear my word and believe on him who sent me, I give you everlasting life, and you pass from death unto life. That is so. That is so. People have been inquiring, different ones I had to talk to, and the process. Well, where if you die, what happens? You know, well, what's it going to be? And they, you know, how do you know? Anyway. So, in the process, well, God, what do I know? Absolutely. Absolutely. Not even a smidgen of doubt. Not even a drop. Nope. It's what it is. Why is it? Because you said it. And that's what God wants to hear. Do you believe me? Yes, I do. Yes, I do. That's all I want to know. I didn't ask how you felt. I didn't ask how you feel. I didn't ask how you anything. I want to know if you believe me. I do. That's what God wants to hear. I do. Period. That's all. Now, having said that little bit and keeping that in mind, then you want to remember now that you want to go to the other side of the coin. And when the amen is at the end of a sentence, it has to do with confirming the words that have been said, and thus confirming them. A, affirming them, going into the sentence, and coming out of the sentence, it's confirming and affirming them. And therefore, you have the little expressions, you know, it is so, amen, and you heard the, you know it, so be it, expression for the word amen. So be it. You said it, so be it, amen. That's what amen is. And you're saying it, and you're looking for God. God's going to do that in a most awesome and wonderful way. And that's what he's going to do. So, and thus in the process, to see it just a little, Romans and chapter 11, maybe. Romans in chapter 11 may pick up in thought. And you will notice, please, Romans 11, I'm going to go right to the end of the whole section on Israel and the summation, verse 36, 11:36. And of him, he's the source, and through him, that's how it all is going to work out, through he's the medium, and to him, where is it all headed? It's all headed, he planned it, he's making it work out, and it's all headed, it's going to be found up front in front of him. He is the object of what everything is about. It's about him. And so of him and through him and to him are all things, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. So be it. Everything. Start to finish. You breathe, you 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, you're looking to God. All of that whole exercise of existence, it's answerable to God. God, you have to let it all happen, however you do, in all of the wonderful ways that you do stuff in the world. And therefore, now, having said that little bit and keeping that in mind, so as you see things, remember now, illustration, remember as you see things, you see things and I see things in right around us as we understand and think about them. To the measure we understand and think about them. But to the measure we aren't, all of that is true. So everything that's happening in your little lives, our lives, in all that's that, all of it is related to the big picture. With God has the big picture. And the big picture calls the shots, not the little picture. It's what God is after. And so your little life and your work and home and pains and headaches and all of those different things, school and work and what am I going to do, what's going to happen and all of that's our little world. But all of it is connected to the big picture. And God, only you have that. So who can work it out? Only you can. The lot is cast, Proverbs 16, the lot is cast into the lap. But the whole outworking, God, is yours. Why'd you even give us birth in the first place? Et cetera, et cetera. Now, and in the light of that, so God, you're telling us that. That's right. When it comes to Israel, and you're going to say, what about Israel, and why should that be, and we're Israel, and we're the Jews and nothing, and you can do all of that. But God is going to do what he said he would do with Israel. Israel is his nation, his prized nation. We are not a nation. He isn't. They are a nation. We are a people belonging to his wonderful person. Now, so having said that and keeping that in mind, over, if you would please, to chapter 15. And if you would, chapter 15, picking up if I can, In verse 33, maybe, very end of the chapter, I'm going to read just to get that you'll get the flavor of it. Chapter 15, 33. Now the God of peace be with you all. What? Amen. God, you're looking to deal with the believers. That's right. So what are we sitting here for? God, you're amening. So we aren't sitting here for the fun of it. We're looking for God to work. And that God, it isn't our work. It's His work. And it's His amen. And He says, over to chapter 16. Chapter 16. If I may, in verse 20. Well, let me skip move fast in that. Verse 24. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. 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 And again, if I can, and in verse 27. To God, the only wise, be glory through Jesus Christ forever. Amen. So God, when you write, you tag it, you sign it, as it were. I'm bound to it. I'm bound to what I said. And so when you read the Bible, that's what you want. Yeah, you're sitting there. It's not just another book. It's God's book. And the Spirit of God is going to make all of that wonderfully, wonderfully alive in a most, most wonderful way. Now, and thus over, if you would, to get the idea of it, over to chapter 22 in Revelation. Chapter 22, and picking up the thought. And going, if I can, as you come to the end. So God, here's your word. And in chapter 22, picking up verse 20. And he which testifieth these things saith, surely I come quickly, I'm coming. Amen. Even so come, Lord Jesus. I'm coming. I'm bound to it. I'm bound. We don't know if he's coming. Maybe he'll come before Saturday, I hope. No. Maybe, no. God said, I'm bound to it. I'm already set up. The clock's ticking. I'm going to come. I'm committed. I'm glued to coming. But what about how people think and how the world's going? And, well, God said, I know all that. And in verse 21, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. Amen. So God, here we are looking to you. And you are bound. You're bound to your word. Uh-huh. You're bound to your people. I am. What do you mean? Well, you know all those things. I can never leave thee, nor what? Forsake thee. I can't do that. You can grieve me something fierce, but I don't back off from my saving grace. You may end up with nothing when you get to heaven compared to what you could have had, but I'm going to keep my word, so I will lose nothing, no one that I save. I've made a commitment to my son to keep everybody, no matter. Now they may, and you remember now, the wood, hay, and stubble, gold, silver, and precious stones, and all of those things. So now God, so here we are. So our people, what are they supposed to be? They're supposed to be bound. Amen. So when we say amen, and we're looking for that, amen, God, so be it. We're bound. We're amening to affirm and confirm in our little head that you mean what you say and say what you mean. And I think Jack wrote that in his testimony that we're going to have out there. And that'll be put, I think that's in the flyer bulletin. They're going to have. It's a great, great, simple, clear cut, and I can't think of anything better to go in the bulletin to have that. his wonderful statement of when he became a member. And wow. Now, so in the light of that, and I trust that that little bit I got in the process. So God, we're resting down on you. We're going to be glued to you. And you're glued to us. God, we're going to support you in our little heart. We support your person wherever we go. And you support us in your heart. You're bound to it. Amen. It's done. That's awesome.